I want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Matthew, as you were talking about the Good Shepherd, I wasn't in Sunday school class, so I didn't get that part of it, but talking about the Good Shepherd, sometimes we allow the stresses of life to tear us apart a little bit. Yesterday I had a long day at work. I didn't get to go to the Men of Valor. Had a long day at work and stresses got pretty tight, to just be blunt. Don't think anybody was hurt. But I came home and I went into the bedroom and I got on my face before God and I asked for forgiveness. The beautiful part about it is he didn't say no. He forgives. That's our shepherd. And I'm so, so thankful, because there's not a one of us sitting here this morning that doesn't mess up. Sorry. We all do. And when we have a place where we can come to, where we can get before our Father, and we can give it all back to him, he takes that, erases it right off of the books, it's gone. And we can start over. I see Arlen and Couture here this morning. Welcome back. They've been a long ways from here for a bit. This morning I want to share out of 1 Corinthians 8. So we started a message last Sunday, and as I was studying the message last week, I felt impressed on my heart, I have to share about love. And so that's where we went last Sunday. We didn't get anywhere else but that. Love. Realizing where our love comes from. The author of love. How much he has loved us. And now, out of that, we love those around us. So this morning, my message title is Non-Offensive Liberty. And as soon as we see that title, we find out real quickly, I think something is changing. We find out real quickly the word liberty. Is it time for me to leave? We find out the word liberty. All of a sudden, there's something that rises within us. Where am I going to go with a message like this? But the fact is, we are free in Christ. If we're born again, we're free in Christ. And there are some of those liberties that we have that are not spelled out in Scripture. How many of you remember back in 2016 when David Yoder from Delaware was here? There's a few of you. I challenge you to go back on our website and look. There's five or six messages that he shared. And I just really was blessed. And I can't point at anything specific, but I remember I was really blessed that week when David was here. So I challenge you this morning, as we look into this message, to be careful not to have preconceived ideas. But let's see what the Word of God says. In our culture that we have, that we're a part of, some of us grew up in the Mennonite Amish culture, some of us didn't. But in the culture that we have, it is easy for us, and I want to say this gently, but it's easy for us to set up some type of a guideline to keep us within. And they're not all wrong. Some of those are good. But something that happens when we make that the drive, there's something that happens within the body. And I'm going to explain that a little bit before we get into our lesson this morning. And this doesn't happen to every congregation, but something that can happen pretty quickly is we start relying on that specific thing to say whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. And And I believe it takes away the working of the Spirit in our hearts personally. Now you may be thinking, Lynn is here this morning, he's trying to preach that there's nothing there for us to follow. We don't, as a congregation, we don't have any agreements. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this. As born again believers this morning, we have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit within us. I will be reading this. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and then I'm going to jump over to chapter 10 and read a couple of verses. How many of you realized last Sunday that I lied to you? My wife realized it. I told you I'm going to read out of the NLT. I didn't. I had another Bible downloaded. So this morning we are going to read this out of the NLT. Do what I said. I didn't intentionally lie to you. But thank you for your forgiveness anyhow. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Give me just a minute here and I'll have it. I'm not going to read this fast. I'm going to take my time reading this because I want us to allow this to sink into our minds. So if you don't have the NLT, it's okay. Listen as I read. Paul here talking to the Corinthian church. They had a question for him. What about food sacrificed to idols? Can we eat that? They were coming from a place where they were a young church. They were about 5 years old at this point. And there was a lot of idolatry happening in that specific area. So some of the believers felt like, you know what? Some of this food that we're eating, we're buying in the marketplace, has been offered to idols. We can't eat that. So we'll see what Paul has to say about that. Verse 1. Now regarding your question about food that has been offered to idols. Yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. So, what about eating meat that has been offered to idols? Well, we all know that an idol is not really a god, lower G, and that there is only one, capital G, God. There may be so-called gods, lower G, both in heaven and on earth, and some people actually worship many lower G gods and many lower L, lords. But we know that there is only one capital G God, the Father who created everything, and we live for Him. And there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. However, not all believers know this. Some are accustomed to thinking of idols as being real. So when they eat food that has been offered to idols, they think of it as a worship of real gods. And their weak consciences are violated. It's true that we can't win God's approval by what we eat. We don't lose anything if we don't eat. And we don't gain anything if we do. But you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. For if others see you, with your superior knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that has been offered to an idol? So because of your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ died will be destroyed. And when you sin against other believers by encouraging them to do something they believe is wrong, you are sinning against Christ. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live. For I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. Let's jump over to chapter 10. We're going to begin in verse 23. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you, this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it, out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. That's where we'll stop reading for the time being. So, was the Corinthian church any different than we are today? Not really. No, they didn't have technology and all of that stuff like we have today. But the Corinthian church had a lot of the same struggles. I want to note a verse this morning. Romans 12, verse 10 says this: love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. That is not my text, but that is a verse that I came across that really spoke to me about loving the brothers and sisters with a genuine affection. It's not false, it's real. And it says, take delight and joy honoring each other. Look for ways to bless each other, is what he's telling us here. So the church was no different than we are today. They had individual thinking. There was idolatry. Now, we don't worship idols today as far as having a specific wooden, clay, metal structure. We don't have those. But there was a lot of idolatry. There was also true worship. We have that today. We have true worship. There was also offense within the church. That's why they're asking these questions. I can probably honestly say that there is not a church where there is not offense. And I'll tell you why. Because Luke 17 says there will be offense. That's what Luke tells us. So we come back to the question that they ask. Can we eat what has been offered to idols? Let's go over to chapter 8 again, if you still got your finger there. Paul answers that question pretty clear in verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, he says, we know that an idol is nothing in this world. An idol has no value. It's dead. We don't pray to some wooden structure, whatever structure it is. This idol was dead. So Paul was telling them, because this idol is dead, we know the true God. Don't worry about that. We know the true God. That's who you are to serve. There is but one God in verse 6. So Paul didn't have any question about that, but he said, there are some that don't quite understand that yet. He calls them weak in the faith. They don't quite understand yet that we have a God that is alive, that is not an idol. We have a God that we worship, that is true, that is real. But Paul makes it very clear to them, be cautious. Be very cautious that you don't cause your brother or sister to stumble. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Paul told them, he said, the meat is not the issue. You can eat the meat. It's not going to make you sick. You cannot eat the meat. It doesn't matter. He said, that is not the issue. Then verse 9, like I just stated, be careful that your freedom, your liberty, doesn't become a stumbling block to others. If, verse 11 and 12, is where I feel like it gets really, really serious. If the knowledge that we have, how we understand something, if I am willing to express that to a brother that I know, let's imagine here, Matthew, I'm going to pick on you. Your shirt doesn't have a collar on it. I'm not too impressed. I think you should wear a collar like the rest of these guys back here have. Now you can laugh at that. I came from a church like that. If you didn't dress just perfectly like everybody did, there was offense. What did that do for the brotherhood? What do you think it does for the brotherhood? Will it draw us closer? You know. It creates offense. There's many churches that have been split by small things like a collar. I have a friend that wore a specific garment we would probably laugh at today. And there was something that was done against him because of that. And he did not wear that around others. He felt it's okay to wear what he was wearing and where he was at. But here's the caution. Don't cause your brother to stumble. Verse 11. Your knowledge, your understanding, your peace with God, doing that, having that, whatever it is, in front of a brother or sister that feels like it is the wrong thing, you can make them stumble. You can trip them up. And when you do, verse 12 says, when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, who are we sinning against? What does it say there? I heard it somewhere. We're sinning against Christ. Is that serious? It's very serious. Is he telling us here that some of these things that we feel are okay are wrong? No. But he's saying be very, very careful. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are here to build each other up. We talk about unity. It's easy for us to think that unity is what we see here. But I want to give you a different concept of unity. Ephesians 4:1. I'd actually like for you to all turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 1, 2, and 3. This is Paul speaking. And he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then he tells us how. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. NLT says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Binding yourselves together with peace. To me, that looks like a strong bond. Because there is something that has happened within us. There is a unity that we have as brothers and sisters in the Spirit. Why? Because we have the same God. We're headed the same direction. We're there to encourage each other on, not to hinder each other. There's a unity of the Spirit that happens within us. And when we have that unity of the Spirit, we are peaceful. It bears long with others. What about a conscience? Conscience comes into this too. If you look at chapter 8, I believe it's four times that he mentions conscience. I think verse 7 might have it twice. And then verse 10 and 12, I think, have the word conscience. And as I looked at that word conscience, I went to Vines and I looked up that word. This is what it says about conscience. It says a knowing with, a co-knowledge. The witness borne to one's conduct by conscience, that faculty by which we apprehend the will of God as that which is designed to govern our lives, bearing witness with God's law. Let your conscience be your guide. Are you okay with that phrase? I'm not. Because in the sense of God created us, everybody has a conscience. It doesn't matter if you are a believer or an unbeliever. You all have a conscience. A child that misbehaves, they have a conscience. They knew it was wrong, and sometimes that conscience needs a little bit of cleansing. They knew it was wrong. As an unbeliever, some of the things that I did, I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I knew it was wrong. There's a scripture, and I don't have that listed here this morning, but there's a scripture that talks about a seared conscience. Now, what's the thing about this? I should have wrote that down. But a seared conscience is when we turn against what we know is right or wrong long enough until eventually. You know, I heard it explained one time as a triangular wheel. This is just a little illustration. A triangular wheel that spins in circles. When I do something as an unbeliever that is wrong, that little wheel starts spinning. There's a little bit of pain. I know. I can feel it. That was wrong. And if I continue to do that, eventually something's going to become dull. And I just won't feel that prick in my conscience anymore. Now there's something that happens as believers. So we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the conscience work together. Now that I have the Holy Spirit within me, see if I can explain this correctly. Now that I have the Holy Spirit within me, the Holy Spirit is my guide, and that comes out of going here, seeking the Father. The Holy Spirit becomes my guide, and now my conscience is a reflection of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Hopefully I'm not losing you here. So now we have those two working together. So now we come to what we call gray areas. Let me explain a gray area. A gray area is somewhere in life, collars, somewhere in life where I feel it's okay to do or to be something that the Scripture makes no clarification on. I'm wearing black shoes today. I haven't found in the Bible where it says Lynn is to wear black shoes. I'm going to go another direction here. I have a pair of brown shoes at home. Today I can wear these black shoes and it's all good. This would have been okay. But if I would come to church, I see some of you with brown shoes right there. If I would have come to church with brown shoes, I would have been looked down on. Because that could have been an offense to somebody. Are you okay with wearing brown shoes? See, it's not the thing. It's not the thing, but it's our relationship with God. And it's listening to the Holy Spirit working within us. There is freedom for those who are in Christ, but it is to be used very, very carefully and not to become a stumbling block. Now let me ask you this. What if there's something in my life that I feel like is okay? Let's go back over to chapter 10. Remember what we read there? 1 Corinthians 10. Let me see if I can find the exact verse. Verse 27. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. You're not eating it because you think it's wrong, but you're not going to eat it because of his conscience, his or her conscience. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So I believe he's telling us, and we're going to see a reflection of that here in Romans 14 in a bit, and I need to keep moving. Sometimes there are things that come into my life that God shows me very clearly that this is okay. You could list a whole, if I were to ask this morning, what are some of those things? I think we could have a whole list of things this morning, of things that could be offensive to some, but not to others. But we're not going to go there. We're just going to continue to give us clarity that be very, very careful that we don't cause offense. We are a brotherhood. We work together. We are in spiritual unity. Are things okay outside of Scripture if we have the Holy Spirit and we have sought God in specific areas? Yes. But again, let's be careful that we don't offend somebody by what we do or what we allow. Galatians 5. I'm going to read some out of Galatians 5. You do not need to turn there. Sorry, I should have had that right up here in front of me. Galatians 5. A couple of verses beginning verse 6. Now let's get a little bit of what was happening here in Galatians. Paul was talking to them about circumcision. He was telling them the old law has now been fulfilled. You are now under the law of grace. And he says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Yeah, let me just continue. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he shall be. So he's talking about the one that is coming back, that is bothering them with, you need to be circumcised. And that hath been put to rest. Now, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would there even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. The liberty he's talking here about is laying down the circumcision, picking up the circumcision of the heart instead of the circumcision of the flesh. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what we want to do as brothers and sisters. We want to serve one another. I'm going to read a couple of verses here out of Philippians, and then we'll move on pretty quickly here. Philippians 2:1 says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Meaning, don't just look toward yourself, but look out for the brotherhood. Make them first. Serve one another. I'd like for you to go to Romans 14 And again, I'm going to read, this is a sister chapter to this. I'm going to read this out of the NLT because it clarifies so much what he's talking about here. Romans 14, again, I'm not going to read through this too fast. Lunch is waiting. I know you're ready. I'm not going to read through this too fast because I want us to really drink in what he's telling us. It's not a very long chapter. Romans 14, he says, accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. That verse really hit me. Because if you do or say something that disagrees with what I understand, I'm quite willing to argue about it. Here he says, don't do it. Don't argue about it. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. But another believer, with his sensitive conscience, will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive His approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable, Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor Him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. We don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and the dead. So, why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. That makes it pretty real. Am I looking down on somebody? Am I being looked down on? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're not going to point at anybody else and say it's because of Him. For the Scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each one of us will give a personal account to God. That's pretty real. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. Pretty clear, isn't it? If our conscience, if our working through the Holy Spirit, we feel like there's something that is wrong, then we need to obey that. But if you sense in your conscience through the Holy Spirit that something is not wrong, you're free to function in that way. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided is right. That verse kind of opened up a new window for me. He's not telling us that what we're sensing from the Holy Spirit in our conscience is wrong. But he's saying, be careful. If you have something in your life that you feel between you and God is okay, you're welcome to do that. But don't do it in the presence of the one who's offended by it. Don't allow the freedom that you sense in Christ to trip somebody else up. It's a very, very serious offense. But if you have doubts about whether you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. So that brings me back to the place again, as I've been talking about the Holy Spirit. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Seeking it out in the Word. See what the Bible says about it. Can you take me to the next screen, please? I have on this screen up here, I hope you can read that. And this is taken from Authentic Church. It's by Vaughn Roberts. The verse he has on top there is, "Do it all for the glory of God." So this is just a little bit of a flowchart, maybe we'll call it. The first box there says, "Does the Bible allow it?" And if the answer is no, what should we do? Don't do it. Pretty simple, isn't it? If the Bible says don't do it, let's not do it. So if the Bible doesn't say anything against it, and there's a yes there, let's take the next step. When I'm speaking with the Holy Spirit, we're in communion, and we're asking, through our conscience, through the Holy Spirit, is it okay to do this? And if it's something personal, and the Holy Spirit says don't, what should we do? Don't do it. It's actually pretty clear. But if there's a yes there, let's drop on down. I'm sorry, those are almost not readable. Give me just a second. I'm going to have to find it here, and I will read it to you. So, what it says on the bottom there, there are three further questions to ask. If you feel that it's okay, your conscience says it's okay, and it's not against Scripture, there's three questions to ask. The first one is, what is the effect that this may have on other Christians? So if I allow something in my life, and it may affect a brother or sister wrong, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Love is more important than knowledge. The second one, what is the effect, what is the effect on non-Christians? Those that are watching us, and you are being watched, by the way, what is the effect on non-Christians? The gospel is more important than rights. Third one, what is the effect on my spiritual life? What's it going to do for my growth, where I'm at with Christ? Will it hamper something? Will it increase it? Will it increase my love for Christ, my love for others around me? Spiritual health is more important than freedom. So the question, will offenses happen? Yeah. They're going to happen. Luke tells us they will. What happens when I seek my own way and I cause offense? How do I deal with being offended or having caused offense? Lord willing, that's going to be my next message. 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is from now. When there is offense, what do we do with that? Do I hold somebody at arm's length? Do I just say, I've had enough of you, I'll deal with somebody else? Or what do we do? There's answers. The Bible has answers for us. So in conclusion here, those things around us, the idols, the physical things, the idols they were worshiping, really, were nothing. God is who we serve. We may see and practice differently within the body of Christ. Even here at Calvary Chapel. There are some things that we do differently. It's okay. Let's just be cautious that we don't create somebody to stumble. Don't allow your beliefs and practices to offend your brother or sister. There are gray areas. Be gracious. Let God be the judge. Don't judge one another in these areas. And the last one I have here is love God, love people. This is our highest goal. Take me to the last screen, would you please? Paul said, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Doesn't that answer the ton of questions that we've gone through, the things we talked about? Do it all for God's glory. And we love our brothers and sisters through that. It is so easy to split a church, to split each other from loving together. That didn't make sense, but I know what I'm saying. To cause division within the church by what I want versus caring for my brother or sister. I hope this has been a positive message for you this morning. I don't mean it to be something that's negative, but there is so much opportunity as brothers and sisters that we have to build each other up and to grow deeper with Christ. He's building His church. I want to be a part of that. And I hope you do too. I know you do. But He's building His church. And the way that we can support that is by stepping in, listening to the Holy Spirit, and loving each other, building each other up. Thank you so much for listening. Would you please stand and we're going to pray. I know there's food over there that's waiting. And by the way, something I was going to mention, I thought maybe Chad would mention, I think we forgot. We used to stand at the back door and just say hi to you as you go through. We'd like to start that again this morning. Vaughn and I are going to stand at the back door and just say hi to you. We love you as a body here, and we want you to know that we do care. Let's pray. God, again, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are not left alone, but you've given us all that we need to walk faithfully with you. God, we realize that offenses can happen really, really easy. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that you would help us to be sensitive. Sensitive in how we live life. How we relate to each other as brothers and sisters. Help us to build each other up. And to join you in building your kingdom. Thank you for the promise that we have of an eternity with you. God, make us servants of yours. Willing to lay down what we want for the sake of you and for the sake of the brotherhood. Thank you for the food. We ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you have a song?